Where's the button on this thing? Sure, we used to use this for podcasts. Ah, right, here we go. I think if we press that, do that, turn that over there, we might actually remember how this thing used to work. Let's see if we can do this. What does that button do? Oh, yes, that's what that does, and that's how that works. Hey, welcome back. This is the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast. It feels like we've been away forever, but it's only been half a year. What, 6 months between friends? And at the other end of the line, still living it up in Bristol like the old tardy is, it is the wonderful, the I've never seen a film I like, Mr. Gavin King. How are you, sir?
Hey, less of the tart.
Oh, I do apologise.
That's all right. Old, I don't mind, but tart? How dare you, sir?
Really? That's the one you're picking on?
Ah, well.
Anyway.
I'm having a good day.
Oh, well, bless you. Let's ruin that if we can then, shall we?
Okay.
Right. Well, what we decided to do at the start of the year was a podcast every month. And then life kind of got in the way and everything kind of went tits up at both ends. And now we're just 6 months into the year. What we're going to try and do is a podcast every month. See you again in December, chaps. What we thought we'd do is talk about something special, and then the time passed, and we thought we'd do something else, and then the time passed, and now Christopher Lee's died. So we thought we'd talk about that for 5 seconds, and then talk about monster movies. Is that okay with you, Mr. King?
Yeah, it's fine by me.
Excellent. Well, seeing as you're a sort of man who was in his mid-40s when Christopher Lee started making films, what would you like to say about the man? What do you remember?
Well, do you know what? It's quite interesting because I happened to turn over the other day onto, God knows, I don't even know what it was, but all of a sudden The Devil Rides Out was on.
No.
Now, I can remember going to see it at the cinema when I was, in fact, I might have actually gone with your mother. It's quite possible.
Good grief. Did they have cinemas back then?
Well, it was sort of a flickery thing. We called it the Flicks.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, those were happy days. And then later, it must have been, I would imagine, New Year's Eve 78, 79, they put it on just after midnight. And I made everybody stop in to watch it because I said what a great movie it was. And after half an hour, people were throwing things at me. and I said, it was really fascinating to actually see it. I'd forgotten how handsome the bastard was.
He was a good-looking guy in his day when he wasn't dressed as Dracula.
Yeah.
I think the problem was, I mean, a lot of sort of his early films, I mean, the Hammer films especially, were great if you caught them when you were young or at the time. I don't think, rather sadly, they've aged that well. The production values are shown to be not the best.
What, with Hammer?
I know.
Wash your mouth out.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? But it is. Actually, on the subject of Hammer, they made a resurgence, and the first film they made when they came back was a film called The Resident in 2011.
Okay.
And I would urge people to track this down and go and see it, because Christopher Lee's in it, because, you know, it's a Hammer film. He has to be. It's the law.
Yeah.
But with better production values, but a story that still is weak, it's actually a modern Hammer film. It's true to the spirit and the work of Hammer, which means it's not a brilliant film, but it's really enjoyable and it has some good scares in it.
Oh, like The Woman in Black.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Not The Woman in Black 2.
No.
And you kind of forget that he had quite a resurgence late in life, I suspect, off the back of Lord of the Rings. But he never really went away anyway.
He did. Well, you see, this is the interesting thing for me, is that I was incredibly surprised that he got cast in Lord of the Rings, because he's always been a B-movie actor. Always.
Well, you know why he got the job, don't you?
Well, somebody died, didn't they?
No, he was, bless him, a complete Tolkien addict, and he reread Lord of the Rings every year.
Oh, my God.
So he knew the story, he knew the character backwards.
So did he die of boredom?
Well, clearly not, because he's been reading it for years.
I mean, I've forgotten he was in the bloody Wicker Man.
Oh, yes. But he was also... Yeah. This will surprise you. He was in Hugo. Latterly.
Was he?
He was.
Was he?
And Dark Shadows, the Tim Burton film with Johnny Depp, which no one saw but did quite well.
Oh, okay.
And that's just some of his later movies. And he was in Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland.
And he was in The Man with the Golden Gun.
Yes, he was. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
He was also in Burke and Hare, but we don't talk about that.
Do you know what his name was? His middle name?
I don't.
Carandini.
No. Well looked up.
Sir Christopher Frank Carandini Lee. Carandini, I suppose that must be his mother's maiden name, I suppose.
Well, yeah, quite possibly. Although, strangely, not the worst middle name I've heard recently.
Anthony?
No, that's a lovely middle name.
Oh, hang on. Ridley.
She's not in the room, you fire.
Where did that come from?
I'm sure I've heard the story and blocked it.
I dragged that up from somewhere.
You did, didn't you? Well done, sir. Well done. There was.
Do you realise he was married almost 55 years?
Who was?
Mr. Carandini Lee.
Oh, him. We're still talking about him. Sorry, you went off at a tangent. 55 years.
Yeah. Amazing, huh?
Why would you do that to yourself? Right, on to the main event, my friend. On to the main event. When we finish slagging off people who found true happiness and love lasting a lifetime. Bastards.
Yeah, and
they've died. Yeah. Well, to be honest, I mean, if I'd been married for 55 years, I'd have probably died as well. Just a lot sooner. Right, back to the main event. I'm guessing you've probably spotted by now that there are yet again dinosaurs roaming the cinematic earth.
There certainly are.
Yes.
10,000 years BC, I've just watched it.
Oh, was that on? Did I miss it?
No, I didn't. I didn't actually.
I love that film.
I just made that up.
It's a great film.
Yeah, great. Yeah. I mean, why is it great? Because it's got Raquel Welch with a great big chest.
Do you know what? I never noticed that. I only ever noticed the dinosaurs and the monsters.
Yeah, of course we did.
Yeah, I didn't know saber-tooth cloth could cover so much.
Well, who knew that dinosaurs were around when we were? I tell you who knew. The Christians.
I'm glad you brought them up. The problem is that dinosaurs weren't around when we were because dinosaurs never existed.
Ah, it's God testing our faith.
This is it, you see, because if dinosaurs had existed, someone would have mentioned them in the Bible.
Yes.
Because as we know, the Bible is a history of everything, not just a few fables and anecdotal tales written down by a man who was bored.
who was nicking the tales from another book 5,000 years before.
Yes, exactly. That never happened. So it just makes me think that when Noah was there going, right, to rhinos, to elephants, to giraffes, someone said to him, do you want any dinosaurs? And he said, well, of course not, you fool, they never existed.
That's right.
Rather than what should have happened was, do you want any dinosaurs? Well, I'm glad you asked that, Seth and Joseph. get me. How do I remember this shit? Yeah.
Saw the dinosaurs, put that bushfire out.
Yes. Who's that bloke in a basket? Don't ask. Wrong book.
Anybody got any bread?
Judas, have the wine, it's lovely. So rather than, you know, that was the point when he should have said, well, of course, oh son of mine, we can't do that because they existed millions of years ago and the fossils are now waiting to be discovered by future man. We could discover them and write about them in this book, but we haven't got the time. I think that was possibly edited because, you know, words were at a premium. The paper didn't really exist back then.
Well, we all know that God's got a great editing department.
Oh, hasn't he just? Yes, paedophiles don't exist, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yes, anyway, right, so dinosaurs and whatever. And I thought it'd be quite nice to have a little jibber-jabber in a chat about what sort of monster movies in general. Because as a rule of thumb, as I was sort of casting my mind back, I couldn't think of one that was any good.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
You reckon?
Well, no, it was awful. But when you're 5 years old, it's a bit scary.
Yeah, okay, give you that. Yeah, yeah, go with that.
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Ooh, yeah, possibly. Is that a monster movie or a sci-fi movie?
Yeah, it's sci-fi, isn't
it? Yeah, I suppose it's got monsters in it. I mean, I kind of...
Okay, here's one. Night of the Lepus.
You're just making these up now, aren't you?
Watch out for the killer rabbit! Look out! Here come the killer rabbits!
Did you watch Godzilla? When it came out last year?
Which version?
The most recent one.
No, I haven't seen the recent
one. It's terrible.
I saw the shitty one before it.
Oh, well, that was even worse.
Yeah.
And I mean, the guy who did Godzilla, I'm going to show myself up, I'm going to check this afterwards and then take it out if I'm wrong, did Monsters, which is basically a road movie with a couple who have got to try and get out of somewhere, and you never actually really see the monster until right near the end, which pissed a lot of people off because the title was disingenuous. But it was a really good film and really well made. So there was a lot of hype about Godzilla, and rather unfortunately, they showed the monster too early and the whole film was shit, and the one person who actually cared about died early on, and all the rest of the characters were two-dimensional and terrible. But there's something about... if you're going to have a good monster movie, you need a monster you actually believe in.
Well, like Tim Curry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think the first Jurassic Park film, I think, worked because no one had seen it done before. It was dinosaurs on a huge scale with good special effects. And it, you know, it wasn't 1 million years BC or whatever she was in. Or The Land That Time Forgot.
But wasn't it... I mean, I can remember going to see it, right? Because I actually went on one of my many birthdays... got a little spaced before I went to see it. And even then I can remember thinking, after the initial start, which was good fun, and all the sort of stomping, you hadn't seen anything.
Yeah.
But within, I just remember thinking, you know, they thought, oh, we've got dinosaurs, sod the story. And I mean, isn't that always the case? Especially as the effects have come on and come on and come on, they just tend to forget about the story.
Yeah, totally. I think that's a massive thing. Because there's a huge structural flaw in the narrative arc of all the Jurassic Park films, in that after the Jurassic Park goes tits up in the first film,
yeah,
why would anyone build another one?
Well, because they wanted to make some more money.
Ah, well, of course. Because in the second one, they actually get around the problem by having some dinosaurs loose on an island.
Yeah.
And they've returned to the wild. And then come three, they decide, oh, we'll build another park. What can go wrong? And then
the second one did have that great Jeff Goldblum line in it. Oh, yes. First comes all the laughter and the excitement. But after that... You know, and that was the best bit of that bloody movie.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, yeah. I'd forgotten, because I decided to watch them all again before going to watch the new one. And part of me is glad I did, and part of me is very sorry I did, because I remembered them fondly. And The Lost World is just so, so terrible. And the bit I can't get my head round is in the first film... You have Sam Neill and Laura Dern.
Yeah.
In the second film, you don't. And in the third film, they're back again for no apparent reason other than the fact Jeff Goldblum wouldn't sign up.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I'm guessing, because I can't work out why he... I mean, obviously, he signed up for the first two because they were both the books.
Yeah.
And I think he decided the third one was pushing it too far. And I can only assume they decided to bring Sam and Dern back into it to link back to the first one, just so they could do the whole thing again in a different theme park.
Right.
And it was just so, so bad. But what other sort of... I mean, I guess you sort of other sort of monster type films. You could look at something like, say, Lake Placid.
Yeah.
Which again, I think, takes your point that as long as you've got a decent story, you don't mind the slightly less good special effects.
Well, let's face it. I mean, the classic that we could go with here is Jaws.
Ah, yes.
I mean, that's the classic of all time, isn't it? I mean, my God, a rubbery monster and all sorts of bloody things. But when it came down to it, it was just a bloody good script, and Robert Shaw was just fantastic in it. And also the fact is that when he was telling that story about the sharks eating all those people in the water, and the fact that you knew that was true.
Yeah.
All of that, you know, I mean, you just... That, I remember coming out of, not giving a damn that whatever they call the shark was as rubbery as rubberiness from Rubbery Town.
No, definitely.
It was, you know, I remember going back the next week to watch it again, just so I could sit, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it, but just sit and watch the people go into shock when that head pops round underneath the boat.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, that is just, oh, it's pure genius.
It is, totally. And there are actually some dark comic touches in that.
Yeah, oh, there really are. Yeah, yeah. Well, the classic, we're going to need a bigger boat.
And yet,
do you know what? I've said that recently to a couple of people, and they've gone, ha-ha. And I've had to go, you don't get that reference, do you? What reference to
what?
And I'm thinking, I don't really want to have to explain that to you.
You really shouldn't have to.
No, you shouldn't.
What are they teaching kids
in
school today?
I think, well, is it our fault? You know, I mean, are we demanding too much of these people?
No, I think certain phrases and certain things have passed into the modern lexicon.
You would imagine, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, like everyone knows you don't feed Mogwai after midnight.
That's right.
And everyone knows what you're talking about.
Or get them wet.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone knows what you're talking about. Everyone knows what you're talking about if you mention the Stave Puff Man.
Yeah.
And so we're going to need a bigger boat is one of those phrases that just stuck through time. And frankly, if you're sitting there not knowing what that is, you need to have a word with yourself.
Yeah.
And you need to get out more and go and watch some classic films.
But I don't like the cinema. There's people in there and they're noisy and they eat popcorn.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, but you ignore them and you go at a time when no one else is around, for crying out loud.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, yeah.
That's how you do these things.
Retired person.
Yes, exactly. Go on a Tuesday afternoon and pretend you're 65.
Yeah.
It works for you. another thing, so going back to Lake Placid, did you know that they'd made a sequel?
I did, actually, now you mention it, but I've never seen it or can't even remember what was it called? Lake Placid 2, Gav?
Yeah.
Was it?
Pretty much, yeah.
It wasn't, was it?
Yeah. Worse than that, there's a Lake Placid 3.
Ooh.
And worse than that still, there's a Lake Placid 4. And 2, 3 and 4 never made it to the cinema screen. 3 was, I think, made by the Sci-Fi Channel.
Hey, what happens to films that used to go straight to video?
They go straight to DVD now.
Yeah, but they, do they?
Mm.
Or do they go straight to Netflix?
Well, that as well, and the Sci-Fi Channel and other places like that. But they basically end up in a bargain bin straight away.
Can you put it on pause a minute?
Put what on pause?
Pause the machine a minute.
Why?
Well, you carry on talking. I've just got...
You've got to go down to the door, haven't
that's
you?
That's 18 bottles of South African wine just turning up.
Oh, well, in that case, you let that in, because that's far more important.
I'll be down in a second. Hold on. I wondered where they got to. Hello?
Yeah, still here.
Yeah. Well, they've turned up. Amazing. Straight from the South African
Cape?
Yeah.
Vineyard?
Vineyard, yeah.
Winemaker?
The winery.
Yay, excellent. So what is it, 12 bottles of red?
18.
18?
Ooh. 18.
I'll have a couple of those off you.
Worthwhile. I had to make it worthwhile for the delivery.
Is that the excuse you're using?
Yeah.
What were we talking about? We were talking about monster films, weren't we?
Oh, we were. Yeah.
Have you caught up with the sort of the latest craze of things like Sharknado?
Oh, well, I've seen people talk about it, and I've seen that they say they've made another one, and you think, really? They've made another one of a film that I didn't see before because everybody was going, dear God, have you seen this? It's a shark caught in a tornado.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
But it's terrible, but it's meant to be terrible, if you know what I mean.
I know. That's dangerous ground, though, yeah, isn't it?
It is very, but it's knowingly awful and knowingly terrible. And they make it even worse and even more terriblier and awfuler in Sharknado 2. And I can't remember which character, which famous person it is, but someone, as the disaster starts to unfold very early on, someone sticks their head out from their seat, so they're kind of head on in the aisle.
Yeah.
Just as the shark comes flying down and takes their head off.
Oh,
and it's done so staged and so clearly. I'm not really an actor, but I've been told to put my head here and wait for the cue. It's just brilliant. And it really is. Yeah, it is. I mean, there was another. I don't know whether they're quite classed as monster movies or whether they're more disaster movies, but they got flying sharks into it. Let's call them monster movies. There's another brilliant one called Bait, which came out of Australia.
And yeah, I almost got sent down for that.
Twice, I believe.
Yeah.
You never met Jimmy Savile, Your Honour. Anyway, there's a massive tidal wave hits this small town in Australia, and a few people get trapped in a supermarket.
Right.
With a ginormous great white shark.
Oh, yes, I've seen it.
And that's the film.
Great.
Yeah.
That's
brilliant. It's terrible. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And it actually does make you jump a couple of times. And I think you sort of see patterns repeated in film, Jurassic Park 4, anyone.
Interestingly, I'll tell you what, just going off, just off tack a little, I've just been watching Modern Families Series 7.
Oh, yeah.
And they must be getting a little bit short of plots, because at least four of the episodes are Frasier plots.
No.
Yeah. The one where, just to give you an example, somebody on the big fat gay guy's bowling team can't make it, so he takes Jay along with him and says to Jay, but you've got to pretend to be gay, otherwise we'll lose the match.
Okay, so Frasier getting on the board of the opera then.
And that's right. And there's at least another three of them like that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but having said that, there are some absolute classics in this Series 7.
See, I never got on with Modern. I never got on with it.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. I think it's pure genius.
I think I read somewhere that there could be another Arrested Development on the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm not... Ooh. You see, I mean, I was one of the few people who actually quite enjoyed the Netflix version.
Oh, well, I think we both did, didn't we?
Yeah, but a lot of people didn't, did they?
No, a lot of fans didn't. But it's one of those weird things. I think it needed watching en masse.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the callbacks were callbacks to two or three episodes ago.
Oh, bloody hell. There was a lot of callbacks like that. And if you hadn't actually got into it right from the beginning, you were well stuffed. And I tell you what, a lot of people, unless they've watched those first series twice, you've missed half of it.
Yeah.
Because totally. It's only by going through it the second time that you're seeing what's happening in the background.
Yeah, And the background was key to nearly everything in that fourth series. It really was. It's
absolutely stunning.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm right in saying that it was in the first episode of the last series.
Yeah.
That you had something happen with Job and the bees, which actually only gets explained two episodes from the end. When you get the full story leading up to it.
Yeah. And of course you start screaming with laughter and the person you're watching it to going, what?
Yeah.
What?
This is it. I don't get it. I was like, yeah, well, you weren't paying attention 2 hours ago when you saw this bit happening. Now, oh, I can't be bothered. Go away. Go make a cup of tea.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm not going to explain it to you because you just, oh, I can't be bothered. I've got to go home. I've got to go out.
Just not worth the effort.
Can I just say, I've got a review here of The Wolfman, 1941.
Oh, yeah.
And the headline is, Shut Up and Comb Your Face.
Oh, they don't write reviews like that anymore.
And there's, of course, Lon Chaney Jr. is in it. Oh. And he gets scratched while fending off an attacking wolf. Then as the full moon rises, a revolting transformation takes hold. And as quick as you can say, those slacks are going to need a brand new crutch. He's hot on the trail of human blood.
Oh, dear. Dear. See, that's funny. Werewolves, as a sort of, in the monster genre, are a weird film. Because apart from An American Werewolf in London.
Which I knew you were going to bring up, because actually that transformation scene was just about the best up to that point.
Well, I don't think it's ever been bettered.
Well, quite possibly. Although I bet it don't bear going back to see too much now.
Oh, I watched it again recently. It holds up. It's still funny. It's still a good film.
Oh, I think it's a good film. I was just wondering about the special effects now.
I think partly because most other werewolves are still not done well. It does actually hold up. I mean, I don't know if you managed to avoid, and I hope you did for your sake, Twilight 2.
I haven't seen Twilight 1.
Keep it that way. Twilight 2 is where the werewolf character comes into his own. And given the budget they had, the werewolves were drawn by a kid with crayons on work experience.
Oh.
They're just appalling. And just so blatantly CGI'd and done in a hurry.
How dare they?
It's just like, you've got to have some respect for the craft.
Well, you have.
You know, I mean, if you're going to go... No one ever did a cheap, tacky Frankenstein. Sorry, Frankenstein's monster. You know, I mean, Boris Karloff got it done very well. Mel Brooks...
Yeah, did it brilliantly. Yeah, but it's expensive. You know, I mean, Mel Brooks did
bring... Bring the witch! Oh, sorry. Bring the witch! Walk this way.
You see, now, I've done that to people, and they've looked at me as if I've gone bloody apeshit.
I know.
And I go, but you must understand. They go, understand what?
What's happening to the world? I can't hear that phrase. I've actually done an entire version of that song as the monster.
I mean, there's some people who sing, oh, the bloody typical 6 or 7 quick ones, and you're just like all the other men, off telling your mates. Fantastic. What do you think of Cloverworld? Cloverfield.
My first question was, if stuff is falling from the sky and buildings are being smashed,
why would you go out?
Why were you keeping your camera running while you ran down the stairs?
Yeah, well, mind you, why did they get so much of the Japanese tsunami?
Well, yes, true. But no one was actually filming the tsunami as it hit them. Most of the tsunami footage came from people from a safe vantage point.
Well, sort of, I suppose.
And as soon as that thought entered my head, which is, 5 minutes into the film?
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that the whole thing being shot my shaky found footage stuff made me feel seasick. As soon as that thought popped into my head, the whole film just fell apart for me. And I just didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, well, to be honest, as soon as I actually saw that it was somebody actually called it Gossip Girl meets Godzilla by way of Blair Witch. And what? As soon as I saw that, I thought, no, I ain't going to like it.
No, I mean, it's not good. It's not good at all. It has its fans. But
and yet, this is in the Time Out 50 Best Monster Movies.
No.
Oh, it is.
Oh, no, that's just wrong. That's just not allowed.
I mean, they got Hellboy in there.
That's not a monster movie. That's a comic book movie. He's not a monster.
Precisely. I mean, that's what I don't understand what they're actually doing on this. I'm just sort of just plowing through these things and thinking, well, that ain't right. That ain't right. This is Time Out, for God's sake. No wonder they went out of business.
Oh, yeah, that would explain that. Yeah. There's another film I'm struggling to remember the title of because it was so bad.
The Name of the Rose.
No, sadly, I can remember that.
George Formby Goes Mad.
Oh, do you know what? I was really enjoying that until they decided to put him in a spaceship with a machine gun. That just ruined it for me.
Wasn't that awful?
It really was. No, the one I'm thinking of is Pacific Rim.
Oh, now, do you know what? I dream of having a Pacific Rim.
Well, you see, I know that will be the end of a perfect date for you. But sadly, the film is something else. And I can't really begin... If you haven't seen it, I can't begin to explain really how bad it is.
Really?
Yet strangely enjoyable at the same time.
Okay.
But basically, they have to build massive suits to beat the alien hordes that have risen up from the seabed, who are huge and massive. And it just seems to be an excuse to just build two giant sets of special effects and have them hit each other. And it's got some of the most bone-crushingly terrible dialogue ever. It's so bad.
Is that a bit like The Deep, is it?
A little bit. It's kind of The Deep meets... you could probably chuck in a little bit of The Abyss and Battleship.
Ah, The Abyss, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and Battleship. Yeah.
Oh. See, what I'm noticing here, though, as we're going along, we're actually sort of giving the lie to the fact that there could be any decent monster movies out there, because all we've done is slag them off, really.
You're right. There must be.
And then we're coming to... I was just thinking, you know, I'm sort of thinking that... what's the one with Jack Nicholson in, and they come down, and he's the president?
Oh, Attack from Mars. Mars Attacks.
Mars. Yeah,
yeah, Mars Attacks, which is superb.
Yeah, oh, it's great. But you see, I mean, this is what I'm thinking, is that really what we're saying is that monster movies only really work when there's a tongue firmly, firmly wrapped in the cheek via the airways of your bottom.
I think there is a truth to that. I think, I mean, like, Lake Placid is a fine example that it knows what genre it's taken the piss out of, and it's doing it very subtly, which is odd for Americans, but they did it. And Godzilla was meant to be sort of more in keeping with his Japanese roots and his heritage and all the rest of it, and it's just terrible. And like you said, the one that came before, where Jamiroquai did the soundtrack, was absolutely appalling. And the only decent Godzilla one is the cartoon.
Right.
I
suppose, really, when it comes down to it, that you can't really do Godzilla without having the Japanese in the background.
No, although you have to, because that's where it sort of all stemmed from, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But then, you know, monster movies. Now, was the Fog a horror movie? Is a horror movie a monster movie? And I don't think they are they?
No, not really.
I mean, they've got monsters in it in The Fog. And I actually thought that was really quite good. I really enjoyed it when it was out. I mean, you know, we got here. I mean, basically our biggest challenge is constructing a list that what exactly constitutes a monster. And we haven't put zombies in, but we put werewolves in.
That's a good point.
Vampires, I mean, but
yeah.
It's what does actually constantly, and I think a monster has to be, well, I think the creature from the Black Lagoon really says it all, doesn't it? You know, it's a creature. It's not. I mean, Wolfman, vampires are basically humans with pointy teeth.
Yes, very true.
Vampire, werewolves are just pointy teeth, hairy people.
Yep.
You need something that's sort of, now, alien.
Ah, yes.
Original alien, when that thing comes out of John Hurt's guts, that has to be one of the most chilling things that, I mean, I physically felt sick the first time I saw that.
Do you know I saw that when I was about 12?
Oh.
That'll leave a mark on you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that left an impression. But that, definitely, that I think that's the perfect example of where actually maybe the best monster movies don't have, I'm going to sort of probably contradict myself as I say this, because we're talking about Alien, but don't have the monster necessarily as the main event. Because in Alien, it builds.
Yeah, it's the tension and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, we know this really to the extent of saying that often, if they have a movie which goes all the way through where it's just the tension and the fear that builds, if they show the monster at the end of it, it balls the film up.
Yeah.
They have to try and find some way that they can climax it without actually showing it.
Well, see, funnily enough, that brings me to The Mist.
Ah, okay.
Now, this was written and directed by Frank Darabont. Right. And he got offered a shed load of money so he could improve the special effects, but he had to change the ending. And he turned the money down to keep the ending so the monsters aren't that great. And because of that, he keeps them in the background and they're hinted at and alluded at. And you never see, I think I'm right in saying, if I remember correctly, you don't ever see a full monster.
And because of that, it works.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. And you would love the ending. Sadly, on that note, watches have been pointed out, and I've been reminded I've got to go and have some lunch.
Right.
So finally, we're back. Finally, we're back on board. We're up to speed. We will try and make this a regular monthly thing. We will promise. We will do our best. Yes.
We'll do it periodically.
Yes, that will definitely happen. So if you've got any thoughts, any suggestions, any hints, anything you would like us to talk about, your favourite film, you would like us to watch it and slag it off, we are more than happy to oblige. Just tweet us, Facebook us, find us on the blog, or we'll happily accommodate. In the meantime, please give it up to the man who now owns 18 bottles of South African wine, Mr. Gavin King.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
And we will see you on the next time. Thank you very much, sir.